Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. This is a game recap for January 22nd, 2016. Another disappointing effort over at the Amway Center for the Orlando Magic. A game that really felt like the Magic had won. They had rediscovered a lot of the things that were missing throughout the month of January, had led to this sharp and sudden decline of the team that's taken them out of the playoffs, or at least out of playoff positioning, not out of the playoff discussion yet. But has left a lot of questions about the Magic, and once again, Orlando is on the short end of a really heartbreaking defeat, and a loss that really they can only look at themselves and try and ask themselves some questions once again. This wasn't like the Philadelphia game where the team came out with no effort. This was a game where the Magic dominated for much of the game. They had a 19-point lead in the second half. Building a lead with beautiful ball movement. They were able to get shots to go down. They didn't play a lot of great defense in the first half, but they played some pretty decent defense in the third quarter to build that lead. It looked like they were set to get to a comfortable, cruise on to a victory. But unfortunately, that's not how things work in the NBA, as the Magic have discovered time and time again in the last few years, really. And again, the Magic kind of reverted back to some of the same things that they've struggled with for much of January, where now they've lost 9 of 10 games. The Charlotte Hornets came storming back, and really was storming back on the back of Kemba Walker, who just made the right play time and time and time again. But when you have an overtime game like the one the Magic played in on Friday night, it comes down to one or two plays, really. And essentially, the Magic just reverted back into a shell. The things that they did well through three quarters, they stopped doing well. The ball movement stopped. The Hornets were able to disrupt the Magic, force them to initiate their offense further away from the three-point line. Guys were standing around, waiting for someone to do something. No one was cutting to the ball. No one was cutting to open spaces. There wasn't passing to loosen the defense up. The Magic were getting into the paint on a few occasions, but unable to finish or take a bad shot, take a wild shot, not make the right pass out to the perimeter. There were a lot of turnovers. Alfred Payton had three of his four turnovers in the fourth quarter. The Magic totaled 9 turnovers, 9 of their 19 turnovers in the fourth quarter. And in the final 17 possessions of regulation, the Magic managed only 6 points and had 7 turnovers. The Magic had a 15-point lead in that final 7 minutes or so, in that stretch, and Charlotte just came back and took the game from them. Again, Kemba Walker, absolutely fantastic tonight. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 14 of 28 shooting. Just a blur, and when he got his confidence going, the Magic just had no answer for him. They had Elfrid Payton on him, and Elfrid wasn't doing very much to stop him. Nikola Vucevic has had his trouble in the pick and roll. He kind of sits back a little bit too much, and then when Walker's coming at you with a head of steam, that's not going to do it. And Vucevic, even when he was in position, was not providing much resistance. Eventually, with about 20 seconds to play, Kemba Walker did get into the lane, beating everybody in transition, just beating everybody. No one on the Magic that had an opportunity to step up and at least try and stop ball or change his direction could do it, and that gave the Hornets the lead. They did extend it to 3, and Victor Oladipo, but the Magic weren't done. The Magic were not done. They hit a crazy 3-pointer. Victor Oladipo took a really terrible shot. Of course, he had to. A double-clutch 3-pointer, and it banked in, and it saved the Magic. It gave them an opportunity in overtime, but the same kind of problems plagued the Magic in overtime. They were settled down a little bit defensively. Walker wasn't as crazy in there, but the offense just was not clicking. They found themselves down by 4 pretty quickly, having to scramble back. There was a play where Oladipo tripped, somehow got the ball to Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon just threw up a wild shot and got the 3 to go down. That brought the Magic up by 1, but Walker did his thing again. He was getting into the lane with so much frequency. Vucevic really bit hard, to keep Walker out of the paint, keep him from getting an easy layup. And Walker found Spencer Hawes open for 3, and that gave Charlotte a 2-point lead and eventually the win, as Victor Oladipo couldn't make the shot on the other end to tie the game and send it to a second overtime. So the Magic go from a 19-point lead to a 120-116 loss in overtime at home against a Charlotte team playing without Nicholas Batum, without Al Jefferson, and without Cody Zeller, a team that's also been struggling as much as the Magic, and kind of with them in the standings. Again, another team within the Magic's weight class. And, you know, now that the Magic have lost 9 of 10 games, they were sitting at 19-13, and now they're 20-22, now past the midway point of the season, getting ready for a week-long road trip that will take them to Memphis, Milwaukee, and Boston. All games that you'd think the Magic would compete in, but with the way that they're playing right now, it's not 100% sure. And, you know, the feeling coming out of this game is that there are a lot of questions the Magic need to answer, and certainly there are. And this stretch of the season now, how the Magic respond from this terrible, terrible month that they've had, especially with the schedule they've got coming up in February and March, is going to define who this group is. And so here on January 22nd, now January 23rd, as I'm recording this, the Magic are really asking some hard, deep questions about themselves.
Like I said, our character is going to be built during this time. What kind of players, what kind of men are we? It's a question. We got to question each other and look in the mirror and question ourselves and realize that we got to step up. Ask ourselves, are we really going to fold right now, or are we going to step up and change this around? So we just got to believe in one another, but we got to start with ourselves. It starts with you individually, because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you believe in somebody else? So I think if we do that, then we'll be just fine.
Those are some pretty big words coming from Victor Oladipo, who individually had a really good game. Coming back off of the strained knee that cost him pretty much a week on the shelf, just getting ready, trying to get back into the swing of things after the London trip. He gets the start tonight, as Scott Skiles did change the starting lineup. I think it was relatively effective, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. He scores 29 points, shoots 11 of 19, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc. Only 2 free throws, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. So he didn't contribute a lot outside of scoring, 4 turnovers as well. But again, he seems to be finding himself again, finding what made him really special at the end of last season, and shaking off a lot of the rust from the beginning of the season. Unfortunately for him as well, you know, Oladipo had some moments where he was still a little wild around the rim. He obviously had 4 turnovers. He still did a lot of really good things. I thought he was really patient tonight, made some shots, made some heat check shots too, which is what you sometimes want to see, especially when he's feeling good, and was a big reason why the Magic took the lead that they did. And he made a really big steal in the overtime period to get the Magic back into the game, and really continues to put forth effort, and he's someone that the Magic needed in that starting lineup tonight. Orlando got off to a good start. They had control of the game for most of the way. I mean, it wasn't really until the fourth quarter that Charlotte put up much of a big impediment to this team. Orlando was moving the ball from the beginning, getting the shots they wanted, and scoring at will. They scored 35 points in the first quarter, 26 in the second, 33 in the third. There was no hint that those struggles were going to pop back up again in the fourth quarter. It looked like it was a game where the Magic, found a way to outscore their opponents. It just felt like that kind of game where they just suddenly awakened and had this jolt of energy. The other new starter in this game was Aaron Gordon. He played a pretty solid game. He got into early foul trouble. He admitted after the game that he was a little overeager, a little too hyped, I think was the word that he used. And it showed. I mean, the refs clipped him for a few foul calls, and it was disappointing. But overall, in 24-18 in the game, Gordon scoring 10 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, is a pretty solid outing. He was actually the only starter with a positive plus-minus, and I think that's generally a good sign from him. He was someone that they could rely on, and if not for the foul trouble, he would have had a really, really strong effort tonight for his first start of the season. I think moving him into the starting lineup was a really, really good decision. I was a little more skeptical about Oladipo beforehand, but Oladipo continued his strong play from before the injury, And, you know, he's someone that provides that good energy, and that's what the Magic needed. Now, at the end of the game, it turned into kind of desperate energy and pressing energy, and a lot of the guys talked about being tight in those pressure situations, especially when teams are kind of throwing that urgency and that punch back at them, and that's still something that the Magic appear to be needing to work on. So, too, is their defenses. As this game, again, kind of proved that without defense, this team's not going to go anywhere. They are sometimes able to outscore a lot of teams. When their ball movement is really working, they're able to score a lot of points and look really good. But if they're not getting stops, that means they're running half-court offense, and that means sometimes the ball's going to stagnate like it did in the fourth quarter. When the Magic are not getting stops, it's a huge struggle. And while there were some good individual defensive plays, especially late, when the Magic gave up the lead, Elfrid Payton actually stole the ball from Kemba Walker in the backcourt and tried to beat him off the dribble for a layup, and Walker made a nice recovery to make a steal and knock the ball away. But there were some nice individual defensive plays, even when the team was struggling, even in the first quarter, but it wasn't strung together enough. And when you look at the larger picture, the Magic's defense just did not cut it tonight, especially in the big moments.
You know, we knew our defense wasn't that sharp most of the night, and you know, but we played excellent offense. So, you know, we had the lead, we were knocking down shots, and you know, as a coach, you're always a little bit concerned that, you know, what's going to happen as the game goes on if we start missing shots or we don't get, you know, the quality of shots that we were getting, and it started, you know, and they turned up the heat, and we had trouble executing, and I mean, somewhere in the 20s, 20-something of our last possessions, you know, basically we either took a bad shot or turned it over. When most of the game we've been executing, moving the ball, seeing the open man, and not over dribbling, and then also we did have a handful of good looks in there too that, you know, we just missed.
And that fourth quarter was extremely, extremely frustrating for the Magic offense. You know, as I noted, in the final 17 possessions of regulation, they had 6 points and seven turnovers. That's 6 points and seven turnovers in 17 possessions. There were a lot of really bad shots, a few good looks that they just missed and shots that they should make, and a lot of mistakes. When you look at the final numbers, the Magic shoot 5 of 19 in the fourth quarter, 26.3%. They have 9 turnovers, which lead to 8 Charlotte points. You know, Charlotte scores 30 points, 11 of 23 shooting, you know, getting 13 points, 13 of those 30 from Kemba Walker, and 9 from Brian Roberts on 1 3-pointer. So, you know, a lot of different factors going into that game, but into that, and certainly you don't take anything away from Charlotte. They went out and grabbed the game. Kemba Walker is playing like an all-star right now, and if, you know, Charlotte's record may be the only thing that keeps him from making that game, I think he's proven the last two nights that he is in that level and playing a really great game. Before they came to town, the last time, I think I wrote for Hardwood Paroxysm a story about how Kemba Walker has changed his game a little bit, with Charlotte able to play a little bit more off the ball. Obviously not able to do that as much tonight with Nicholas Batum out. But they still had Jeremy Lin starting with him. They had Brian Roberts in with him for a lot of the game. You know, he's able to pick his spots a lot better. And right now the team needs him to play like this with so many guys out. And it worked really, really, really well. But, you know, when I look at this game, it really was about the Magic and how they went into that shell and didn't execute their offense well. They didn't deal with the pressure well. They didn't attack the pressure. They succumbed to it. And, you know, if you ask any high school coach, you ask anyone who plays against pressure defenses, the way you beat it is you attack it. The moment you kind of lean back or absorb that pressure in a negative way, that's when it has you. And the Magic just did not respond to the increase of intensity that Charlotte had as they got desperate there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we just got away from what we're doing well, moving the ball. That's what got us that lead. Moving the ball around, playing together, finding an open guy. I think we ran away from that in that fourth quarter. A lot of one-on-one, too much dribbling, and you know, we couldn't find a way to score. And then once, you know, they got closer, it got even harder.
So the big question now, you know, entering Wednesday's game against Philadelphia, I said it, and I think a few other members of the media that follow the Magic said it as well, that Wednesday's game against Philadelphia and Thursday's game against and tonight's and Friday's game against Charlotte were both must-win games for this team, just from a confidence standpoint. I mean, I don't think there's a must-win game in January from a standing standpoint. The Magic are still, through all the losing, losing 9 of 10, are two games back of the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. That's certainly manageable with 40 games to play. So I don't think the goal of making the playoffs is lost on this team. I don't think it's unachievable. And if anyone thinks it's unachievable at this point without straightening something, obviously straightening some things out, I think you're being a little unreal. There's still opportunity out there. What these two games and what these two losses mean, though, is that the road is very, very difficult. This team is still asking questions of themselves that you'd hope they would have answered by this point of the season. You can certainly look at this game as a sign of small progress. I wouldn't blame you for that. They, again, just like they did against Toronto and London, showed they are capable of playing at a high level. And doing it for an extended period of time. The game against Toronto, the defense in the second half was about as good as they were playing it at the beginning of the season. They just didn't do it for 48 minutes. Same thing tonight. The 36 minutes of really strong offense that the Magic had was reminiscent of their late December push when there were signs of trouble. No one's denying that with the defense, but they were able to score a lot of points and get enough stops to win games. And they didn't do that tonight, obviously, but it's still in there. There's no doubt it's still in there. And unlocking it has been the most difficult and most frustrating thing. And I wrote about this in the sidebar. Victor Oladipo mentioned that most frustrating thing is knowing that it's in there, knowing that this team is capable of doing these things and just not doing it consistently. And this is a young team still learning a lot, obviously. It's not an excuse. They should have won tonight's game. There should be a ton of disappointment and a ton of frustration with how it happened. But undoubtedly, you can only look into the mirror to find out why they didn't win this game. And each player should know that. They should be able to look in the mirror and say, it's on me, it's on us to get this fixed and get this figured out. It doesn't feel like it's a schematic thing. It really doesn't. Because they've executed it so well and at such a high level throughout the season. Maybe the defense will never get back to that level. There are certainly some flaws defensively that are perhaps a little bit beyond scheme. And with the trade deadline coming up, I think everyone's a little bit desperate and little in a rush to do something to make a bigger change than just a lineup change. And like I said earlier in the day, a lineup change alone isn't going to fix the problems with this team. It certainly seemed to do a lot tonight, but it obviously wasn't enough. And certainly one game doesn't make a trend. So we'll see what happens Monday night in Memphis with how the team plays and whether they respond to this loss angry or whether they continue to kind of mope around and struggle with defensive pressure, which is what Memphis is absolutely known for. Certainly that's going to be a big challenge for this team's mental state and mental focus. And that's maybe what they need. They need that challenge and they need to rise up to that challenge. There's always another game in the NBA. And it isn't time to panic, I don't think. It's not time to push the reset button, and it's not time to start tanking for a draft pick. I don't think this team is going to ever be at that point, to be frank. I think they will even still try to win until they are eliminated from the playoffs because that's the kind of tone they want to set for their season. But there's still a lot of concern with this team, and I don't think you can get around it, and it's not going to fix itself until the players fix it. And I think that's the most important takeaway from the game overall.
Obviously, we haven't really been responding the way we need to. But at the end of the day, it's just a rough patch. And that's what I truly believe in. We just got to stick together, man. Basketball is an imperfect game. There's There's no such thing as a perfect game. And, it's just a tough time right now. You know what I mean? And, but what's great is we know what we're capable of. Like, and everybody in America, you guys know what we're capable of because we've done it. You know what I mean? We've won games. We've won consecutive games in a row. So we just got to get back to what works and believe we can get back to that. Stop playing so tense and go out there and have a free mind, free our mind, and go out there and have fun.
Whether that's enough, again, we will find out. There's a lot of work to do, and certainly an attitude and an energy that has to change in some way. And it changed a little bit and changed for three quarters on Friday night, but it was not enough. And that's how you lose 120-116 in overtime when you have a 19-point lead in the second half. Before we close out, let me quickly run through the stats. Victor Oladipo, 29 points, 11 for 19 shooting, 5 for 8 from beyond the arc. Very solid game individually for him. I thought provided really good energy. Again, like I said, beginning to look like the player that we thought could be an all-star this year from the end of last year. Tobias Harris actually had a very solid game, in my opinion. 22 points, 9 of 14 shooting, 4 of 5 from the line. I thought did a really good job, especially in that in when the team was rolling really well. Finding his spots, cutting into good spots to score, catching the ball and moving immediately into driving into open space and dishing it at the right moment and trying to score at the right moment, getting out in transition. This is where Tobias Harris is really good. What I think we've learned is when he's not good is when the team is bogged down in the half court, they set him up in isolations or they turn to him to just create something out of nothing. That's not when he's good. When he's really good, it's because he's cutting into the lane. The way I've described Tobias Harris is he's really good at filling in the gaps. Whatever the team needs, he's able to do. If it's getting rebounds, he does it. If it's cutting into gaps, if it's keeping the ball moving, he's typically very good at it. He does tend to ball stop sometimes, and when he does that, he's not very good. Tonight, for the most part, was a very good game from Tobias Harris. I thought he was really, really, really valuable for the team. Elfrid Payton, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists, was very good in the first three quarters, very bad in the fourth quarter. Ended up taking him off of Kemba Walker, leaving him off the floor in overtime because he just couldn't keep Kemba Walker in front of him, and that was disrupting and really harming the defense when the comeback occurred. He was minus 12 in the game. I don't think that's much of a coincidence. Evan Fournier came off the bench for the first time this season with 15 points. 6 of 14 shooting, 1 of 5 from beyond the arc, continued to struggle a little bit, missed a really easy shot early in overtime, or missed a close shot early in overtime that he should make, a few other shots that he should make, but generally I thought he was beginning to work himself out of this slump, kind of still going in and out of it, I think. Interesting to see where his confidence is at now that he's coming off the bench as well. Nikola Vucevic had 18 points, 12 rebounds at the starting center spot, 6 of 17 from the floor. Vucevic, typical problems with him, I think. It either his feels on or it's off with his offense. And defensively, he just is not a hedger. He's not going to hedge screens very well. And he struggled to get out to the three-point line when Spencer Hawes was in the game, particularly left a lot of open threes. Thought generally, though, he did a good job defensively. He was energetic. He was willing to make plays. He blocked 6 shots, which was a career high. So he did a lot of good things. But again, fourth quarter, everyone seemed to revert back to how they played for most of January. And the Magic aren't going to win games when they play that way. And they didn't tonight, and that's that. So another disappointing loss for the Magic, one that I'm sure they wish they could have back. But can't get them back. You can only move forward. And so the Magic will have a couple days off without games before they head on a quick 3-game road trip. They'll be on the road all next week, playing at Memphis on Monday, at Milwaukee on Tuesday, and then at Boston on Saturday before playing the Celtics, hosting the Celtics at the Amway Center on January 31st. Orlando Magic Daily will have coverage of all those games, and we'll be in Boston, or will be at home for the game against Boston next Sunday. So be sure to check us out on Orlando Magic Daily. You can follow me at OMagic Daily. That'll close it up once again. The final score, the Charlotte Hornets 120, the Orlando Magic 116 in overtime. We'll catch you next time here on the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. Thanks for listening.